Hey friends, welcome to Cashing In on Content Marketing. I'm Amanda Milligan, the marketing director at Fractal, and every week on the show, I interview marketing experts about the ways to know the value of your work and get buy-in for your strategies. This week, we're going to be talking about content in every part of the funnel, including middle of the funnel, which we have not talked about on this show. Joining me this week is Perna Virji, the Senior Content Solutions Evangelist at LinkedIn. Welcome to the show, Perna.
Hi, Amanda. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. We were just saying before the show that I've seen you at PubCon give really amazing talks. So I'm so glad to have you here. If you haven't seen Perna give any of her keynotes, do check that out. So Perna, you had messaged me that a lot of the questions you get around content are about this concept of the importance of targeting all aspects of the funnel. So what are these questions like that you're getting, and what are the answers that you're providing to these folks?
Oh my gosh, yes, if I had a dollar, right? As the saying goes, everyone's so focused, and naturally so. I think with like this advent of digital marketing and advertising, and we can see all those numbers so well, mm-hmm. people tend to be so bottom funnel focused. But the reality is like you need to keep filling this bucket, and not everyone is sort of in the market to buy at a time, right? Especially with B2B, where, you know, a lot of LinkedIn's customers tend to be, the sales cycles are really long. So if you just focus on bottom funnel, like you're really leaving dollars on the table. So for me, it's almost like explaining why it is worth even promoting and having sponsored content that touches all levels of the funnel, instead of just like, oh, I just do that on organic, which is fine, at least you do it. Or, you know, there's no time, I have very few resources, so I only do this. And so it's more a case of, I don't know what ideas to have beyond like my ebook, my webinar, my research piece. What else can I do? The second thing is, I don't have enough resources. So I'm like, okay, I can still show you, it's less resources, and I don't really know what works on social media like LinkedIn. And so these are the type of questions I try to answer, and hopefully we'll chat through some of them.
Yeah, today. I was like, what a perfect framework for this episode. So the first question, I think, is something that absolutely people struggle with across the board for content, which is the ideas and understanding what is actually going to resonate with people. And it sounds like when people are coming to you, they know what is going to help convert. Like they know their differentiating factor. They understand how to talk about it, but they don't know how to kind of zoom out a little bit and get interest that's a little farther or higher up in the funnel. So how do you recommend people go about that ideation process? How should they get inspired or get ideas?
It really helps to think about it from your audience's point of view and where they are. And even though most people do a good job, a really good job with acquisition, sometimes there's a lot of sameness. Like we'll see a lot of people talking about the same things in the same ways. So I almost try to think about it as three steps, just to simplify it to its most core, is at the top of the funnel, like what's the issue? You're more of an unknown entity. Here, when you're trying to build up your brand and your brand recall, like think about Coca-Cola, for example. If you are really, really thirsty, or you're buying pizza, or you're buying a Happy Meal, like come on, like the ordering the Coke goes along with it, right? It's thought about in buying situations, where many times there's other companies where maybe people know what you do, but they may not know all the different ways they can leverage you. For example, like Microsoft Teams, it's so great. Yes, I'll use it for work calls, I'll use it for webinars, but are you using it to like have family calls? You know, maybe not, people don't think about it. And so top of the funnel, we're trying to establish that brand recall, but also brand recall at the right time. And so I break it down into really more of building that emotional connection. Because we tend to think rational, right? Especially in B2B, like, oh, it's the rational ads. That's how people buy. But what makes you memorable, what builds that recall, is emotion. And then then people think that emotion means making people cry or laugh. And it's not about that. It's just about making people like feel something rather than think something about your brand. And I recommend the three P's for this. So you can talk about your brand purpose. You know, people are voting with their dollars more and more, and showcase it. And by that, I don't mean just like post the post. You need to walk the walk as well. You know, people now more than ever are going to dig deeper. Like if you talk about your commitment to, you know, D&I, for example, people will go and look at your leadership and see, like, do you have anyone who's diverse on your leadership board of directors, for example? So put stuff out there. Like, content can flow so easily when it's tied to your authentic purpose. So whether it is like an employee resource group that's talking about stuff, you can take learnings from that, share it with others. If you are committed to changing your own policies internally, like, put that out there, like, highlight people's stories. Like, that works really well. And also if you're doing something in your community, that's helpful. Purpose. Then we have your personality. This is where a lot of brands shy away a little bit. And you're like, no, I don't have, what's my personality? But small, simple things, whether it is humor in some ways, like something small. Like, I love that Microsoft's been putting these really funny posts where it's like, oh, you know, goes off mute, nothing to add, goes back on mute. So it's so relatable. It stands out. But it's not about humor. It's about understanding your audience and connecting with them. One of my favorite brands for this is Lemonade, the insurance companies, the insurance startup. They're so good. Oh my gosh. Like, they understand who their audience is and they put in personality. Or you can just tell stories about your people, about why you exist, about your purpose. And so, and the third P is about your people, your execs. So sorry, this is a very long answer,
Matt. I love this answer. No, please.
So my third P is the people. Like, people will associate your company's leaders with your brand, right? We think about Jeff Bezos when we think about Amazon. We think about Satya Nadella with Microsoft, so on and so forth. Like Richard Branson, the face of Virgin. Build that. Like, people more than ever are following company execs on social media. They'll tend to, it can influence your buying decision as well. People will be more likely to recommend a company that they follow on social. So put your execs' voices out there in addition to your brand voices. So let's say, like, American Express had a great example. So Amex had this campaign where they, it's a sustainability campaign where they've created credit cards using plastic sourced from the ocean. So of course, great brand initiative, they put it out. Then they had their like director of sustainability do a post about how he thought about it, why he's so passionate about this and the impact, right? It's additional depth, additional personality, showcasing how people at the company think. So really three simple P's, top of funnel. And it's, again, none of this is like really hard work content. It's ideas that already exist that you're just harnessing for social media.
So that was, first of all, phenomenal answer. Secondly, so you get, maybe you're doing this process, like you said, you're thinking about the three P's, you have some ideas. How do you know the format and the channel, right? So like if you think the idea, a lot of people take that philosophy of the idea should come first, like the content should come first, and then you can figure out how to package it and how to have it reach the ideal audience, right? So you're talking about social media, you know, I'm sure you have definitely the LinkedIn perspective or you know how to give people that advice, but how do people know how to increase the audience size? Presumably, if you're doing middle or top of the funnel, you want more people to see it. What is your strategy at that point? You're like, I have this idea, now what?
I think it really goes down to understanding the strengths of each channel and what it can do. Like, one idea can work really well. In fact, we'd recommend it from a brand cohesion point of view to carry on that consistency across channels, but you can tailor it slightly. So for LinkedIn, for example, our members see LinkedIn as an investment in their time as a way to come and learn and grow. So content like tips and how-tos and guides, as well as like CEO, like personal stories from execs and people tends to resonate really, really well. Like people want to come and learn and grow. So that type of content, you're like, great, let me put this on LinkedIn a lot more. Whereas if it's a channel like paid search, you know, you can still do some of the top of the funnel stuff, like through remarketing, through some of those other things. So I would really say, like, let's get your core idea and then look at whether you can put it in different channels or not. Or if you have something that's a television commercial, for example, even if it's something as different from digital as that, what can you take from it? How can you carry on that scent and effectiveness of it in your other campaigns? So if somebody's doing a search, or if somebody saw the ad, was moved by it, then they can see something in social media too, just to reinforce, right? Repetition is so helpful with content, as you've talked about before.
Yeah. So does this play into kind of that second question that people come to you with, where they're like, we don't have the time or the resources? Does being able to say, this isn't like a one and done thing, you can carry this across a lot of your communication, it's something you can just have someone in your leadership contribute to, it doesn't have to be this, you know, very elaborate thing. Does that all tie in together?
It does. Also, like, my favorite thing that people sometimes don't do enough of is like reusing and remixing their content. If you've put in all of the effort to create like high value content, trust me, it can last a really long time and still be effective. And I always give you the example of, like, let's look at Hollywood. Like, who's got the biggest pressure and the biggest dollars on the line with content? It's definitely, you know, probably Hollywood ranks up there, isn't it? If we look at Disney, they talk like their Star Wars movie, they convert it into like lunchboxes, into games, into, you know, you name it. And through all of it, they generated billions and billions of dollars collectively, and it reinforced their brand name and prominence. And so why don't we do that as well? You could take, you know, let's say you've got a big research report that you've put out. Take little snippets from it and use it as little appetizers. Right? Maybe there's one really cool fact in your research. Turn it into a quick video, turn it into an infographic. Maybe have a webinar interviewing like the SMEs who helped put together the report. It's not that much additional work, because you don't have that fear of the blank page. It's something that's proven to work. Now we're going to do it in different ways. And, you know, we do it too at LinkedIn. A few years ago, one of my colleagues had created the Sophisticated Marketer's Guide. And we, again, put it into podcasts, webinars, videos, blog posts. It works every single time because it was strong. But it also had the benefit of reaching people in the way that they like to consume content, right? Some of us are visual learners, some of us like to read, some like to just listen. And so we're being much more inclusive of different content consumption styles, which also helps it reach more people.
Absolutely. So let's talk about kind of seeing how all these pieces fit together. So a lot of these people who come to you, they have their bottom of the funnel figured out, hopefully. So if they're starting to add content to other parts of the funnel, how can they make sure that they're all kind of cohesive, that one might lead? And we know, like, also the funnel is not just a funnel anymore, right? People can come in at any piece, so I'll add that caveat. But how do you know that maybe, or how do you find the gaps? Like, how do you know that you filled it in enough? Like, okay, if they see this, hopefully they'll come back later and also look at this. And like, how do you kind of direct them to other parts of your site? Like, how do you actually see this entire strategy all pieced together?
Well, the first thing is I zoom out for a second, and then I'll look at some of the research. Right? I read this thing, it was from like Google and Forrester's research, that said that 90% of the decision-making process is consumed before people even contact a vendor. An average of 13 pieces of content are read in the process. And there was like one more stat that just like sort of smacked me in the head, which said 74% of these people will go with the company that was forced to help them. I'm like, darn, that just really, really enforces the importance of content throughout the decision journey. And we know the decision journey is super complicated, right? In, out, it takes a long time. There's multiple people, right? There's a whole buyer committee. Now it's not just who signs the contract. So it is that complicated. But if I think, like, how can I be there? So I put myself again back in the mindset of my audience. Like, what are they thinking? What, you know, what do they want to hear at different paths? And then that will help me a lot. So, okay, in the beginning, in top of funnel, they didn't really, I'm unknown. So I need to be recognizable. Now I need to be make it onto their selection sheet. So middle of the funnel, here's where we nurture them to like fall more in love with us, right? This is your like, we're going on all the fancy dates. I'm going to take you to the movies. I'll take you to the picnic. Like I'm going to roll out the red carpet kind of thing. We nurture the leads in the long time that it takes for them to decide. And a really good thing to do at this time is to empower your audience. Again, it's, your content's never for you. It's about your audience. It's never, what do I want to say? It's what do they want to hear? Like, I'm a big believer of that. And that's going to help you be successful. So here, can we do like problem awareness and solution awareness? It's sounds very similar, but it's two halves of the same coin. So maybe let's think about what are their pain points and how do I put content out there that helps, you know, align me as like the person who solves their pain points. So whether it, you know, some, especially like the tax and accounting industry has seen so many changes lately with all these rules. So maybe people are confused, like what are these new tax laws that I have to do if I'm a real estate investor? So if you're a company that comes in and like, here's your checklist, here's your guide to like what you need to know before, you're like, boom, you're helping me. It's what I want to hear. You know, if you help me now, I will remember you later. So solve their pain points, share some first party research, share some perspectives from your people who are trying to figure things out. So maybe it's like, you know, like Amanda, like you go on and you're like, you know, as a director of marketing at Fractal, like, here's what I've learned, what I tell my customers, and then you'll go and speak about it at events, right? You're the perfect example of that nurture content. With solution awareness, the other side of the coin, it's more show them possibilities. Like what, maybe they didn't even realize that you could do that. So, ooh, there's this warehouse of the future, or did you know you could save this much money if you had this HR software, or you know, all of these things that people don't realize. Like, here's the future, here's this guide, here's these trends. Here's, you know, a simple how-to also. This can keep people coming back. It's content that they'll want to consume as well as part of what they are doing day to day. So, you know, you slip right in based on what they're already looking at when you create content that they want to hear. So it's really about empowering them and nurturing them at the middle funnel.
Yeah. So definitely, I think the question part is huge. I think if people are lost, that's the best place to start. What questions do they have and how can you answer them and be helpful? So when you say nurture, I just want to make sure I understand, like in the middle of the funnel, the nurturing means providing that type of help, right? Like if you're trying to, like, I think sometimes people hear like wooing or whatever, they think sales, right? Like, let me tell them how great I am. But you're like, it's not about us. It's about them.
Such a good distinction. Thank you for saying that. Exactly. You're not trying to sell them. There's zero need to hit them on the head with a buy now. Like the, your content's your salesperson and it's doing it by helping them, right? If I read this thing that solved my problem, I'm going to start thinking about them in mind, right? I was researching if I'm trying to come up with I'm trying to post a job opening, for example. I'm trying to, how do I write a good, you know, compelling job description? And then I'll read some research that says, oh, you know, watch out for these words. They're not inclusive. Like, you know, aggressive environment might put off some people. So I'm like, oh, this is so cool. This is so helpful. Like, thank you, company, for sharing this with me. So it's more about A, keeping yourself top of mind and associating your company with the sort of solution to their problems or help them achieve their goals. So that's what I really mean by nurture. And it's, you know, webinars, content, ebook. There's a lot more than just a simple ebook, I really want to say.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. Thank you for explaining that. So I think a lot of the issue that comes into play is people can't measure this very well. And like you said, That's a great statistic of how many pieces of content people consume before they even reach out to you. Like there have been versions of this statistic over the years, just for like brand awareness and such. Mm-hmm. So people hesitate because they're like, well, how do I know then what the value of a piece of content is if it's higher up in the funnel in terms of conversion, right? So how do you recommend people understand and can quantify, if possible, the value of the, of these types of content? Because I think that's the, that's been the toughest part for a lot of folks in getting buy-in for certain things.
Absolutely. And I think each stage of the funnel has its own distinct metrics. So let's say top of funnel. So here's some of the reasons why like top of the funnel doesn't get that much investment, because it just sounds so like unscientific and unquantifiable, right? Like bottom of the funnel, you're like, this is my cost per lead. This is my, you know, marketing qualified leads, blah, blah, blah. You can do all that. But top of the funnel sounds like, you know, so nebulous, but it's not. Like you can look at things like brand sentiment that you can measure through surveys. Like are people thinking, you know, more positively or more favorably about you? It could be your sort of share of topic, like share of voice. Like if you are, if there's lots of people talking about cybersecurity in the IT industry, like where's your voice? Like what percentage of that are you taking over? Like how many, you know, again, it's as simple as like the links you earn or the traffic that you drive, or, you know, even those conversations that you can have. And don't forget, like you can use top funnel content to retarget and remarket and connect again and push people down the funnel. So if I, in my top of the funnel, had a really lovely like video, like a 1-2 minute video that I knew people were watching and had a good engagement rate. And then from middle of the funnel, if I wanted to do some kind of educational webinar, for example, I could, you know, ping people who watched maybe a certain part of the video. And, you know, as long as they watched at least 25% of the video, for example, I could, hey, let me show ads to them because I know they've already invested in my brand. That can help improve your success metrics for middle funnel. And then if I want to look at maybe getting people to sign up for my newsletter, for example, then whoever, again, watch my webinar, retarget them right there, or people who watch my video. So each stage of the funnel, you know, is linked, and you can improve your own marketing efforts by having all three like well thought out and planned.
That's an excellent point. I'm really glad you brought up the retargeting factor of proving the value, or at least enhancing the value of the next stage. You're absolutely right. You're narrowing the number of people into a more relevant group, which means that the middle of the funnel stuff and the bottom of the funnel stuff has a higher chance of succeeding. And I think people can, when they hear that, they're like, oh, like that'll pique their interest if they don't understand just the more nebulous side of it. I think that's a really good point.
Oh, God.
So we're already approaching toward the end of the episode. What do you think are some of the mistakes that people make, aside from neglecting overall the top and middle of the funnel? Where do you think people are making the biggest missteps when they're doing this type of work?
I think the misstep sometimes is letting the content that you have dictate your strategy versus thinking about it as full funnel holistically. Very often we'll get people come in and be like, oh, my brand just has this new ebook now. How do I create a full strategy around that? I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying that they're not taking full advantage of the power. Like you're only, why tap into 20% of your sort of muscle power when you can be so much more effective if you think holistically? So I feel like people can think, if they just take a step back and plan their year, just even at a high level, and think about, these are my 2 or 3 really like big investment pieces that I'll do in the year. Then in the middle, these are smaller campaigns I can create. And then just throughout, like, okay, here's like my day-to-day regularly scheduled programming, so to speak. So if you look at it in the big picture, like sort of write down ideas, you'll see what you're missing. You'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm all top of the funnel. Where's my bottom? Or, you know, oh, I'm not doing anything in nurture. So that's, I would say, think about it holistically, like zoom out in a way. It's such a refreshing exercise to do as well. And then the second thing is just don't rely on one format, mix and match. Like there's video, there's live, you know, every social media has a live format that's effective. Video is super engaging, especially amongst C-suite. Sponsored content, yes. Conversation ads, like messaging, there's lots of different options. So do play around with different formats.
And one of my last questions is a little bit of a big question, so I apologize in advance. When it comes to especially maybe when you do that zooming out, you're seeing holes or maybe auditing what you already have. So like my question is, if you feel like a piece of content's not really doing what you want it to do, or you have suspicions that it's not performing as well, what are the things you're looking for maybe to optimize? Like what are the metrics you're looking at to see if it's doing what it's doing? Let's focus probably on like top and middle. You know, aside from maybe just traffic, what are some of the things you're like, let me try tweaking this to see if it gets me more folks to come back to the site, or let me try tweaking this to, you know, et cetera. Like what are those things you're looking for when you do an audit of that sort?
So no, that's such a good question. I would say first is the most straightforward I would look at quickly would be like my creative related metrics. Like what's the click through? Like, is it going through our people then? Like, where are they dropping off? I'm getting tons of impressions, but my click through rate's really low. Something's wrong. You know, can I put more content on the image? So especially on LinkedIn, for example, people don't consume content, you know, in order. Like they'll look at the image first, like that jumps out. Very often people don't have any content or text on the image. It's a misplaced. People look at the image first, put a headline or something there too. So that could be small, easy fixes. It's in my call to action. Very often people just do like learn more, but such low hanging fruit to put things like, you know, tell people how much time it's going to take to consume. So whether it's like, you know, watch this 30-minute podcast, for example. So that's one. The second thing I really tend to look at, and I find I want to encourage more people to do it, is those engagement-related metrics. Like very often, we are just chasing those eyeballs. We just want views and that. But, you know, LinkedIn algorithm tends to reward the really high-quality content, which tends to get a lot of comments, a lot of interaction with the original poster, you know, comments where people talked amongst each other. So that's really seen as high value content because it's sparking that dialogue. It's putting the social in social media, isn't it? And so the really good part about that is those comments, those high engagement posts tend to be rewarded with a lot more views anyway to begin with. So I always look at engagement as well.
I love that. No, that is overlooked a lot of the time, I think, as the engagement side. And is this actually sparking some sort of, like you mentioned before, emotional reaction or something getting them excited about it, right? Did I miss anything, Parna? Is there any questions I should have asked or anything you think is extremely important for people to know before we wrap up the episode?
No, I would just tell people, like, don't be overwhelmed. Like, you can reuse some of your content. You can remix stuff that's worked before. Like, repetition is not a bad thing. And it's not that difficult. Like, really, just think about it high level. Like, what's something that I can do to build recognition? Think about one idea for each step of the funnel. See how you can connect it. It's very easy to get started in that way. Like, so don't overcomplicate it for yourself as well. Like, I promise it's not as, you know, I don't want you to be always working either, because no one wants to do that.
I know marketing can feel so overwhelming because there's so many different things you can be doing at any given time. And it's so much about prioritization, right? Yeah. So Parna, knowing the objective of this show is about figuring out the value of content, who would you recommend to be guests on future episodes?
Oh, the list goes on so long. There's so many people that I love. I would say one of my colleagues at LinkedIn, like Ty Heath, I love her. I think she's amazing. She's part of our B2BI Institute. She'd be great. I really like Ross Simmons, who talks a lot about like distribution. He'd be great. Ayat Shukeri, she runs an agency that really focuses on conversion optimization and understanding your audience. So she has really fresh perspectives when it comes to content creation. So I love her. Rand Fishkin, who's amazing as well. And really, he's been with SparkToro. They've been looking at what different people are engaging with. So we really like him. Oh my gosh, I'm like blanking on a million names, and I'm going to think back and like be like, Parna.
If you think of people, just ping me. I'm building out my whole guest schedule, and I appreciate any recommendations. It makes it,
of course,
it easy to meet new folks who I didn't already know. Well, thank you so much, Parna, for taking the time and sharing your thoughts. It was extremely helpful.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
Oh, I'm glad. If you've listened to this and want even more tips, sign up for our podcast newsletter by going to the podcast page on the Fractal website. And if you've learned anything from this show, we hope you'd subscribe on your favorite platform and leave a review. Finally, if you have feedback, suggestions, ideas, a ranked list of your favorite live action Disney movies, or anything you'd like to share with me, shoot me an email at amanda@frac.tl. I am a shameless extrovert who would love to hear from you. Thank you to Sean Kelly for podcast music and editing, and to Joelle Pereira for logo design. And thank you, dear listener. I hope you'll join us next time.